Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Uh-oh.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Guess what?
Day it is.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Hump day.
All right, on to Baltimore. On to Baltimore. Let's get over the hump. Let's get past Kansas City. Let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens. Good news is we're looking ahead. The Kansas City game in the rear view. Bad news is we might have missed something that we shouldn't have missed.
Mm-hmm.
According to people the most in the know, we'll get into that. But before we do, we got to pour one out. I got to tell you, we hardly knew you. Water polo tight end.
Dude.
Back on injured reserve. Kahale Waring, who missed all of last season with a 20-week concussion. 9 snaps on special teams Thursday nights, and he is back, J-Lo, and I mean back, on injured reserve. Here was Bill O'Brien with the latest on the man on this show known as the water polo tight end.
Yeah, Kahale had a couple things going on injury-wise, and so we felt like, you know, to put him on IR for, you know, let's just call it 3 weeks, see where he's at after 3 weeks. We felt like that would help him where he is injury-wise. And so that was the decision that we made yesterday. It really kind of happened on Monday. So, you know, that's why it was made yesterday. So that's where it's at.
I mean, J-Lo, you got Jordan Thomas. In a perfect world right now, Jordan Thomas, who caught 4 touchdowns for you a couple of years ago, who John McClain said was his breakout star of training camp, who the Arizona Cardinals thought enough of to where they protected him on their practice squad. In a perfect world, Jordan Thomas is stepping in. You got a red zone threat for Deshaun Watson. But as we sit, they're having to call guys up from the practice squad, and Jordan Thomas is gone.
Yeah.
And Kahale Waring is back on injured reserve, which means that minimally, if he's only on there for 3 weeks, and he made it sound like it might be longer,
right,
Kahale Waring will have missed the first 21 of 22 games that he was eligible to play in and only played 9 special team snaps, not a single snap on offense. This is a third-round pick from a couple years ago.
For a team that desperately needs tight ends. For a team that desperately needs tight ends, so much so that they drafted you in the third round when they had other tight ends that they were trying to see if they could play. Third-round draft pick, it's always a touchy situation when you talk about someone on an injured list, because for all we know, he's snake bit, right? You know, that concussion, let me tell you right up front, I don't think this is the case, but it's a touchy, delicate situation to talk about, because for all we know, that was a legit 18, 20 week effect that he had from his concussion. I don't think so. I'm just saying.
I saw him playing ping pong pretty hard.
I'm just saying you've got to take that into account. You also have to take into account this, quote, undisclosed injury, air quotes, which is always a little bit interesting when they say it's an undisclosed injury and they put you on the IR. You also take into account maybe it's legit. What I'm saying is, okay, with that as background, maybe it was legit last year, maybe it's legit this year. even though I feel like you have to be respectful of the fact that he might be really injured, for me personally, until further notice, this was a bad draft pick, and I'm not so sure we'll ever see him contribute to this team.
And I think letting Jordan Thomas go was a bad decision from the very beginning.
They brought in two tight ends yesterday or day before.
Well, yeah, they brought in one, which I'm glad you mentioned, because this one actually kind of might change my life. I did not expect my life to be changed by a tight end moving up from the practice squad to the active roster, but that did happen for multiple reasons. Reason number one, we get to play this song now. Farrell Brown is coming up from the practice squad to the Houston Texans, the former Oregon highly recruited player. He suffered a knee injury. He went to Oakland. He went to Cleveland. He's now a member of the Houston Texans, replacing the water polo tight end. And Farrell Brown allows me to have all the kids, all the kid loopholes out there, sit crisscross applesauce and revisit one of my favorite church camp songs. Here we go! Wait for it, J-Lo. Wait for it, J-Lo.
I said a Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Oh, baby, let my people go.
What in the world is going on right now?
I never heard this version.
There we go. There we go. Pharaoh Brown is on the team, baby.
Biggie, what's
he
going on?
He is on the team, baby. If he scores,
I thought that was
scores,
Roseanne for a minute.
I did too.
If he scores, you better believe that there is going to be that song playing. And he also changed my life. He changed my life.
Farrell Brown changed your life.
He changed my life. He's either going to provide me with one of the biggest game changers that I've gotten in 2020, or this is going to be an experiment gone wrong. But you best believe that this experiment will be attempted. I was in the lab. I was trying to do some research on Farrell Brown, the water polo tight end's replacements, and I found out that he has a favorite food. And it's a food that I don't think gets the recognition that it deserves. It is a food that I think we should eat more of, and it is a food that he said if he could live off of one thing, Farrell Brown, newest member of your Houston Texans, he said that he would live off of this.
Taco salad. It's one of the best things ever known to mankind.
All right.
What I like about taco salad is that I can dress it up in so many different ways. It kind of never gets old for me. I always said if it was one food that I can live off of for the rest of my life, it'd be tacos. Man, one time when I made taco salad, I mixed a pound of lamb and a pound of ground beef, and it was amazing. So I always switch it up so it never gets old, because like I said, I would live off this for the rest of my life. So you got to find little things to tweak in and out, you know?
How you feel about Pharaoh now? How you feel about Pharaoh now?
All right, we got to get him on.
All right.
We got to get Pharaoh. Dude.
But there's
that. If, in terms of like, okay, the one meal you can live off the rest of your life.
You could have taco salad week.
That's strong.
You could have taco salad week.
Tacos, taco salad, crispy tacos, you know, soft taco. I mean, he's onto something
well,
here.
Well, not only is he onto something.
Yeah.
This is something that I've never thought of doing when I make a taco salad. Mm-hmm. And this is where I say.
So now you're going to do something that he does, but I've given you the secret to nachos for.
No, you've given me some good secrets. But this right here is either a disaster or this is the smartest thing I've ever heard. This is either the most. It's going to be an experiment I'm going to enjoy regardless. But this is either a life-changing experience that we're about to have.
Mm-hmm.
Or this is just an experiment gone wrong, but it was an experiment worth doing. So he's at the grocery store.
Okay.
He's getting his taco salad ready. Pharaoh Brown takes a left into aisle 11.
Okay.
It is the chip line.
All right.
And here is what Pharaoh Brown said that he does with his taco salad. The newest member of the Houston Texans, by the way, replacing the water polo tight end on the active roster, tight end Pharaoh Brown, formerly of Oregon. This is what he says he does that I think could change the lives of not just you, J-Lo,
mm-hmm.
myself, Figgy, and a lot of the loopholes. Take it away, Pharaoh.
This is the game changer. Chili cheese Fritos. This is a part of the seasoning with the meat. Cooked meat, drain, wet seasoning, dry seasoning, and then you crunch this bag up and put it in the meat and let it simmer. And then it's gonna just take the flavor out of this world. And then that's when you start dressing up the taco salad. You can do Doritos, you can do tortillas, you can do blue chips, ranch chips. So it doesn't matter. Once that meat got the dry, the wet, and the chili cheese fries, it don't matter how you dress it up, it's going to be amazing.
The chili cheese
chili
Fritos.
Cheese Fritos.
In the wet. Like,
no, in
taco
the meat.
Meat.
No, in the meat, yeah.
In the meat. Simmer it down and then dress
well,
it up.
Well, you're going to try this, aren't you?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Come on.
I mean, that this could be
like
a life-changing experience.
What was that commercial? I like tacos.
I feel like there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of them. LeBron mm-hmm. James likes tacos, too,
oh,
in
God.
Case you didn't
I like
know.
Ferrell Brown a lot better.
LeBron James is a big fan.
Because it's Taco Tuesday.
I'm telling you, as I'm watching the Texans on Sunday, I know you're going to be in the building. I think I'm going to try this. I think I'm going to try the chili cheese Frito mix that Ferrell Brown just recommended. I didn't think that Ferrell Brown would get some run today. I didn't know he would start out the first segment, but sometimes when you go in the lab on a hump day, on a game week, when you're trying to put Kansas City in the rear view, stuff just appears.
What other tight ends are we going to talk about?
Well, we could talk
about. I mean,
about
Jordan Akins, okay, I'll give you your due.
Jordan Akins, yeah, man.
Jordan Thomas, gone.
He's gone. Darren Fells. Okay.
Can't block.
Yeah, can't block.
I thought he could.
Can't. That's really
it. Kahale Waring.
Gone. Poor one out for Kahale Waring.
Back to the point, though. Would you agree? I mean, that's as bad a draft pick as the Texans have ever had until further notice.
Well, I mean, it's just ironic that, or it's not ironic. It's kind of a punch to the dong, if you will, that we're talking about the Texans versus the Ravens, and the Ravens just traded a tight end to the Falcons for similar compensation to what the Texans got for DeAndre Hopkins, and the Texans have used 2 third-round picks and a 6th-round pick on tight ends in the last 3 years, and the Ravens still have the top 2 tight ends that are going to be on the field on Sunday, and one of them was selected in the 3rd round. He's probably one of the top 3 in the league. That's where investments, that's where we talk about, you know, investments being paying off, and we talk about the offensive line, how bad the offensive line was the other day. But with all that they've invested in the tight end position and the assets they've used compared to what the Ravens have used and how much more superior the Ravens are, that's where you start to lose games. That's the difference in winning and losing games. And I think Kahale Waring, while it's just a guy who played 9 special team snaps last Thursday going to IR, some people say that's not a big deal.
You,
I think it's a big deal.
I got to tell you, you know, it's a big, big deal. I mean, Benny Joppru is a name that will live in infamy in this city. I don't think he ever even stepped on the field in a regular season game. Just an absolute bust. We're in Joppru territory with respect to the possibility that he might legitimately have been hurt the last 2 years.
But Joppru was at least good in college.
He was excellent in college.
Yeah, Kahale Waring had like 24 catches at San Diego State.
Benny Joppru, Michigan, I believe. I think he was bad.
I mean,
bad
he was good.
Dude,
he was good.
Yeah, and he's owned his bust nature.
Yeah.
If you follow him on Twitter, he's hilarious. About being a, I think that's in his profile. I was a bust in the NFL. Lyndhurst, Ohio, isn't that by Cleveland?
Yeah. It's a suburb.
That's where Pharaoh Brown is.
That's where
Pharaoh
is.
Ah, okay.
Pharaoh.
You don't want to get stopped.
Whoa,
and,
baby.
Lyndhurst.
Oh, really? What's it like?
They petty. No, the cause petty in Lyndhurst.
Oh, it's a very, well, you know what I mean.
Let my
don't
people
speak.
Exactly.
Let my people go. Shout out to Pharaoh Brown for changing our lives today for the better. Let's go live to NRG. Bill O'Brien's going to speak. He's going to speak on the status of Kiki QT, the uncertainty of the secondary, and a lot more. King Bill at the throne next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Bill O'Brien at the podium. He has a lot to say. I promise you, he has a lot to say, including you don't want to miss the final question from John McClain, because Bill O'Brien got a little bit annoyed with our good friend John McClain. You're here with us,
Bill?
At 10:40. That's what happened. Let's go live to Bill O'Brien earlier today before practice, talking about everything going on, from the water polo tight end being cut to Kiki QT to the secondary to John McClain asking him about a sensitive subject.
Good morning, Bill. How you doing today?
Hey, John. Good. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Is there any advantage for the defense to play against Lamar Jackson last year? And what is it that has made him so dangerous?
Yeah, you know, I don't think there's a big advantage. You know, I really don't. I think the first of all, when you talk about him, he's just got a very unique skill set. obviously he's very fast. He's very quick. He's over time, he's become a better passer. He's a very accurate passer. Does a really good job of using all the people around him. They have a great scheme. So, you know, I just think he's a great player. I mean, he's MVP. You know, so we got obviously a big challenge ahead of us.
You know, when you look at their defense, some of the things that Wink Martindale does, when the team blitzes as often as they do and have good front seven like Calais Campbell and Matt Judon, what are some of the unique elements of preparing for a defense like that after seeing them last year? And obviously, they'll have new wrinkles, everybody changes year to year, but what do you see from them?
I think they were, if not the most in the league, they were right in the top five in defenses that pressure the most, you know. So you've got to be able to handle their pressure. Wink does a great job. All downs and distances, not just third down. That's a big part of going against the Ravens. If you can't handle their pressure, that just keeps coming, and, you know, you got a problem there. So, you know, we've got to do a good job against the pressure.
Kahale Waring was placed on injured reserve. What was the nature of Kahale's injury? Do you expect him back at some point this season? And what do you think of Farrell Brown? Obviously, just got here, but just your thoughts on him in general.
Kahale had a couple things going on injury-wise, and so we felt like, you know, to put him on IR for, you know, let's just call it 3 weeks, see where he's at after 3 weeks, we felt like that would help him where he is injury-wise. And so that was the decision that we made yesterday. It really kind of happened on Monday. So, you know, that's why it was made yesterday. So that's where it's at. And you know, Farrell Brown was in Cleveland. He's been in Oakland. And, you know, we just felt like he would be a guy that we thought could potentially help us. So we brought him onto the roster.
Bill, these first two games of the season, you guys are facing the Chiefs, who obviously won the Super Bowl last year, the Ravens, who were close last year, and to have Deshaun and your team going up against the Chiefs and Ravens, and specifically for Deshaun on the other side of the field facing Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. What's this like, just going through this early period where your team is facing some of the best in the AFC and Deshaun's matching up against them in these first 2 weeks?
Yeah, no, it's I guess, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, you're going up against the best, and we were a playoff team last year. We played Super Bowl champs last week, and now we're playing a team that was 14-2 last year. So I think it's really, though, when you boil it down in football terms, it's Deshaun and our offense versus their defense, and then it's Lamar and his offense versus our defense. You know, obviously, you know, when you look at it from a fan perspective and you know, from a league perspective, when you have great quarterbacks going against each other, it's really good. And it's a great era in the league of young quarterbacks that are, you know, just really talented and great people. And but I think it's more about, you know, how do we play against their defense? How does he play against our defense? And then how does the game go? You know, like, how are you playing? What adjustments do you need to make? But it's more about, you know, going against each other's defense.
Hey, so I was just curious about the secondary. We saw a lot of John Reed in the first game, and so I was just curious, where are you guys at the secondary? Is Lonnie Johnson? Are we going to see more of Lonnie Johnson in this game, or how do you view the matchup differently?
Yeah, no, there were some injuries involved there, Brandon. So we felt like that was the best lineup for that week. You know. I feel like we're healthier this week. Don't really want to get into all the specifics there, but, you know, it's obviously, you know, week to week for us, you know, okay, how do we want to play the Chiefs based on, you know, scheme, but also where these guys are health-wise, and then, you know, how do we want to play the Ravens based on scheme and where these guys are health-wise. Feel like we're healthier. Feel like we're healthier in the secondary. So, you know, just – take that for what it means. I'm sure you'll figure that out. But yeah, we'll be week to week pretty much the whole year when it comes to the secondary.
And also, is it the same with Kiki QT? I was just curious about him having not played and just where you see him right now.
Yeah, Kiki is doing a really good job. He was injured in camp, and that's more to do with where he's at with that injury. And he's working, he's practicing, he's able to. I believe that he will help us possibly this week, this year. We feel good about Kiki. It's just more about a combination of things there relative to why he was inactive last week.
Bill, what did you think about Will's first game this season and kind of how he's embrace the challenge of stepping in to be you guys' number one receiver this year?
Yeah, he played well. He did a good job. I mean, I don't, you know, I think that he's a guy that worked hard in the offseason, came back in good shape. He's an excellent player. I mean, he's a good route runner. It's always good to have him out there. And when he plays at a high level, it really helps our offense. Got a lot of receivers. I think guys are feeling better from a health standpoint this week. So we'll see how it goes.
Tackling, we talked a little about that on Monday. What can you do now that the guys have knocked off the rust? They've had a game situation. Do you think that kind of just gets better right away? I know you guys can do tackling drills where you can simulate the hitting and the form and the fit and all that stuff. But do you expect you guys to tackle a lot better and obviously the need for that?
Yeah, no. I mean, the tackling has to improve. Obviously from last week, you know, we worked on it Monday. We'll work on it again today. And I believe it'll get better. We have good tacklers. We have guys that have tackled, you know, well in the past. And I think it'll improve. I know it'll improve. And it needs to improve this week because, you know, this is a team that you know, they just have a lot of guys, especially Lamar, that can play in space that, you know, you got to get down on the ground. And it's not just one-on-one tackling. It's, you know, 11 guys to the ball, vice tackles, all the different types of tackles, angle tackles that we all need to improve on.
Bill, big picture with the NFL in the first week, did anything stand out to you? There was a lot of talk going in, you know, from the media, not that we know a lot, that maybe it would take a while for the teams to really get going. But, I mean, many of the games were competitive. In general, it looked like a really good brand of football that first week. I'm just wondering, as you watch the league as much as you can, did anything stand out in that first week after no preseason?
Yeah, I thought it was really good that the league was able to show up and play like that. I think that all the games were for the most part, all the games were competitive. I thought it was really good. I think, you know, we looked at some things. I think it's the teams that played the cleanest. It's the teams that won the penalty battle, won the turnover battle. I think they won 85% of the games this week. The teams that won the penalty battle, but maybe they lost the turnover battle, they won, I think it was like 80% of the game. So I think it still comes down to that. Playing cleaner football. You know, last week we start out, we gain positive yards on the first play. The second play is incomplete. The third play, we jump off sides. Like if we can play a cleaner game, I think that's a big part of what it's just fundamentally, you know, making sure that we eliminate the administrative penalties, you know, the false starts, the illegal formations, the neutral zone infractions. You're going to get holding calls. You're going to get DPIs. Those things are going to happen. Legal contacts. Those things may happen. But it's the mental mistakes that we have to really clean up because the teams that really did that well, they won for the most part. So we're working hard on that this week to clean a lot of that up.
Bill, when you guys were down in the fourth quarter, a lot of time was coming off the clock between plays. Would you like to play faster in a situation like that? You kind of talk about just the tempo of your offense. Does it change from game to game or do you like it to be consistent?
I thought our, you know, yeah, I guess the way that you looked at it, I guess it was, I thought our pace was pretty good in the fourth quarter.
I mean,
we're trying to, you know, we got to get the play in and get the play communicated. And, I think we scored a couple touchdowns. Really the game last week came down to the end of the half and the beginning of the second half. That's where the game, you know, we had a chance to go down there and hit a field goal. We handled that, pretty well until the end of the drive at the end of the half. And then they got the ball and they went down and scored and then kicked the field goal. And then they came out and scored touchdown in the first drive of the second half. That's, you know, where those scores can be, you can double up on scores at the end of the half and the beginning of the second half. We've got to just do a better job of that. But, you know, I thought our pace was pretty good, you know, throughout the game.
All right, this is the thing that drives me absolutely nuts, and this is speaking for someone who wants this offense to be good, wants Bill O'Brien to succeed, wants him to do a good job. All right, so you're going to call out the tackling and say it needs to be better. You're going to call out the end of the first half, which is essentially calling out the kicker and then the defense because you're talking about the swing. You're acting like the offense did their job by setting Kyami Fairbairn out for a 52-yard field goal, which isn't a chip shot, by the way.
Right.
So you're calling out your kicker, you're calling out your defense, you're talking about the tackling. But then, despite the fact that the numbers clearly show how bad the offensive line was. Here's some more stats from Mike Tannenbaum. Chiefs registered 24 QB pressures. The next most in the NFL was 14,
yeah,
by the Washington football team. You're going to say the offensive line did a good job, and you're going to say you like the tempo of the offense. Come on, man. Like, be a complete football coach. Be a complete football coach. Quit apologizing for the offense, which clearly had issues. And coddling and actually criticizing the defense. Like, come on, man. I can't even get it's frustrating, John.
We can fall into the trap of maybe being a little hypersensitive about some of the things that he says. And certainly fans and members of the media do that all the time. Coaches do that. They get caught up in the moment. The thing with this, though, is it is a pattern of we know what we're seeing because right. We've seen it multiple yeah. times before. Yeah. We've seen the tempo of this offense.
Yeah, it's terrible.
We spent the offseason talking about the tempo of this offense, and my big hope, you know, fingers crossed and everything else was, hey, I like Tim Kelly because he's different.
Yes.
Maybe things will change.
Yes.
They didn't,
and they haven't. We'll get more into this at 11:20, but, I mean, it's got to stop. Like, you got to start holding the offense accountable like you do the defense and the special teams. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. The game could come down to two positions, the running backs and the tight ends, and it might not be necessarily what the Baltimore Ravens running backs are doing on the field because they might have a guy who has some secret powers. You're about to get chills hearing one of the Texans' opponents next.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Quarterbacks are going to get a lot of attention this weekend, and rightfully so. In the big scheme of things, quarterback's the most important position in the NFL. But we also know football is one of the ultimate team sports in which a quarterback cannot do everything. And a lot of times his surroundings are what allows him to take the next step, and his surroundings can lift up his success when it comes to wins and losses. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Running backs and tight ends. I think those are going to be a key on Sunday, and the Texans could be shorthanded at running back because Duke Johnson's status is still up in the air, which means we could see more David Johnson, who the Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins for, took back that $10-plus million. On the other side of things, you already know what Lamar Jackson can do with his legs, 1,206 yards rushing last year. But they also have a couple of running backs that we need to keep an eye on. And Mark Ingram, the veteran, who rushed for 1,008 yards last year, and Texas native / Ohio State Buckeye, who I wanted the Texans to draft in the second round,
did.
By the way.
You did.
J.K. Dobbins, who in his first game only had a few carries. They were short yardage carries, and he had two touchdowns. As far as the tight ends go, we know the water polo tight end no longer with us. He's not dead. He's just back on injured reserve. And you have Jordan Akins and Darren Fells. And on the other end, one of the best in the game, a guy who the Texans passed on in 2018,
mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews, coming off also two touchdowns. So four touchdowns between the running backs and tight ends for the Ravens heading into a game on Sunday where I think those are the two positions to keep an eye on.
Look, this is a team we just immediately start talking about Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews, hey, you can call me crazy. I don't think the way he's playing right now is very much of a drop-off from Travis Kelce or any of the elite tight ends. Their wide receivers and their running backs are almost like second thoughts. I mean, it's almost like a second thought with their running backs. That's freaking Ingram over there, man. He's a dude. You know, they got some backs over there.
He's a savvy vet, and I think he has superpowers. I'm 100% convinced that this guy has superpowers. I think he might be – I think Jack Easterby wants to be a motivator, and Jack Easterby, who, by the way, had a lot of wisdom this morning, quoted Martin Luther King and a few other guys talking about adversity and whatnot. I think Mark Ingram is Jack Easterby, except he also gives you 1,000 yards. And let me lay out the evidence.
I'm a people person.
Let me lay out the evidence.
Can you give me 1,000 yards?
I think Mark Ingram might be the best running back on the field on Sunday, but I also think he might be a better motivator than Jack Easterby because there is substance to this.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this courtesy of BaltimoreRavens.com. This is Mark Ingram motivating his team before they tap the brakes off of the Cleveland Browns. So before the game, early on, Mark Ingram pulls aside Baltimore Ravens DB Marlon Humphrey.
Right.
And he says this to one of the best DBs in the league that the Texans will see on Sunday.
Let's go, Marlo. Hey, turn me.
We'll put their defense on the field first.
Hey, y'all set that tone right away. Let's go, Marlo. Let's go, Marlo. Hey, turn me up. Turn me up right now.
All right, so he did that. It's one thing to try to get someone pumped up, but yeah. Minutes after he slapped Marlon on the pads, this happened.
Backfield, Baker Mayfield to throw, his pass is deflected and picked off at the 42-yard line. And the Ravens will return it to the Cleveland 49-yard line. Coming up with the interception is Marlon Humphrey.
He put his hands on him and he got an interception?
Put his hands on him and he got an interception a minute and a half later.
Let me see you do that, now, Jack Easterby.
That could be a fluke. Yeah. That could, I mean, I'm sure anyone.
Coincidence.
It could be a coincidence. It could just be something that happened. Later on in the game, J.K. Dobbins making his NFL debut. First time he's ever going to step onto an NFL field.
Yep.
He's doing his high stepping. He's doing his stretching. Mark Ingram walks over to J.K. Dobbins, and he says this.
Let's go. Let's go. Do you. Just do you, boy. Trust your eyes like you had your whole life. Trust your eyes like you had your whole life. Like you've been running all camp. You know what I mean? Run like you've been running all camp. Do be J.K. You ain't got to be nobody else. Be J.K. And that's going to be more than enough. I promise you that. I promise you that.
Okay. Again, just words. It worked with Marlon Humphrey. But J.K. Dobbins steps on the field. His first series with the Baltimore Ravens. Touchdown. Here is J.K. Dobbins scoring a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Dobbins will carry, sweeping to the left. He's got the edge. He's got a touchdown. His first in the NFL, and the Ravens extend their lead.
Yeah! Hey, what I told you? Hey, what I told you? You ain't keep your football? Where your football at? Where's football at?
Where's it?
Hey, let me see it. Let me see it. Give me that ball, man. Hey! Hey, young blood. Hey, y'all. First of 100 plus. Hey, first of 100 plus. Here you go. Put that somewhere safe for my dog. Hey, boy, hey, hit you, didn't he? It ain't Big Ten no more, dog. It ain't the Big Ten no more, doggy. Hey, 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 just race to the pylon, get skinny on the pylon, and high step it on
them. Okay, a couple things, just in general.
He might be the Jack Easterby in pads.
Well, that's the first thing. Remember when we were talking about how the afternoon guys said they want a leader. They want somebody to be a leader. That's not something you can just be if you don't have the game. You know, you mentioned some guys, Ray Lewis and others that have, it's one thing to talk a lot of motivational type things, but you got to have the pelts on the wall for it to resonate, for people to say, that dude right there is telling me I'm good and he's good. So I like that. So that's a perfect example of what we were talking about. Ingram can flat play and he's a leader. That's what you want. Here's the second thing. If you don't think that they're in their meetings today, by the way, most NFL teams, Ravens and Texans, back on the practice field today. So we're going to find out about Duke Johnson at some point on this show. And we're going to find out. And, of course, they're preparing for other teams. But if you don't think the Ravens right now are in there, either on the practice field or in their running back room, and Dobbins and Ingram are looking at each other like, we're going to eat this week. We are going to eat this week, because they saw the Texans run defense. Both of them had nice moments, but not exactly big games. Dobbins
was more of a goal line short yardage guy in this situation.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were just trying to ease him in or what. You'll see that he had 27 yards, but they're giving him the ball around the goal line. So
Dobbins
had a lot to do with
Dobbins
it.
Had 27 yards. Ingram only touched the ball 10 times, had 29 yards. They're in that room saying, did y'all see what the Chiefs did to that run defense of the Texans? We're going to eat this week. They're gonna give them a big dose, including Lamar Jackson, of course.
Yeah, so you got the running back matchup. You got David Johnson and maybe Duke Johnson, maybe not, versus Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, and Mark Ingram doubles as a motivational speaker. So that's one position that I think is going to play a major role in the game on Sunday. Tight end is another thing. And in the last 3 years, the Texans have invested 2 third-round picks and a 6th-round pick in the tight end position. Kahale Waring is back on injured reserve. He's going to miss at least 21 of the first 22 games that he's played. He hadn't played an offensive snap. He's played 9 special team snaps. Jordan Akins, we don't know what's going to happen. We feel pretty good about him. And Jordan Thomas, who had 4 touchdowns his rookie year, got cut. He's in Arizona. They like him. They protected him on their practice squad. On the other side of things, a guy from Oklahoma by way of Arizona, Mark Andrews, 86th selection in the 2018 NFL draft. 6 picks before that in the draft in which the Texans selected 2 tight ends, they selected Martinez Rankin, who only lasted 1 year in this organization. Mark Andrews on Sunday, J.K. Dobbins with 2 touchdowns. Mark Andrews out of Oklahoma, Pro Bowler last year, with 2 touchdowns as well. This is another position that is going to play a significant, significant role on Sunday. Here's Lamar Jackson, the quarterback of the Ravens, talking about Mark Andrews.
Man, they got top two in the league right now at tight end. He made my job way easier. You know, if it's a DB guarding him, safety, linebacker, it don't really matter. You know, he going to do a great job at getting open, and he going to score a touchdown 9 times out of 10. So that's my guy. He made my job a lot easier, for sure.
He did. I mentioned it just a second ago. I think he is climbing the ranks very, very fast. They also have Nick Boyle. Nick Boyle's been in the league a little bit. Had a couple of catches last week. And have we mentioned Marquise Brown? Brown?
We can go to the receivers a little bit later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Marquise Brown, Mark Andrews, college teammate, pretty good. Nick Boyle, by the way, 31 catches last year and 2 touchdowns. So not too shabby in himself. He had as many touchdowns last year as Jordan Akins. Here's Mark Andrews talking about Lamar Jackson saying that he makes his job easier.
I don't know. For me personally, you know, looking at Lamar, it's I've kind of known, you know, the type of player that he's been, you know, just playing with him. The guy's incredible. He was incredible last year. You know, to me, he's he's obviously the best player in the world, and, you know, his arm reflects that and reflected it last year, and it's this year as well. But it's just a blessing to be able to play with him. You know, he says, you know, I make his job easy, but it's the other way around for sure.
I'm telling you, John, when it comes to 2 positions to keep an eye on, running back, tight end is going to be the one that we need to look at. And if you look at the way in which these units were built, Baltimore got Mark Andrews in the 3rd round. He's one of the best in the game. Bill O'Brien and company, they've drafted 3 tight ends in the last 3 years, 2 in the 3rd round and 1 in the 6th, and there's uncertainty at that position. As far as the running backs go, Texans traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. He had a pretty good start, but we'll see what happens there. And they trade a 3rd-rounder for Duke Johnson. We don't know where he's at. Baltimore brought in a veteran in Mark Ingram who had 1,000 yards for him last year, and they used a 2nd-round pick on J.K. Dobbins. The compensation that the Texans have used at both of those positions is much higher than what the Ravens have used. Again, you traded DeAndre Hopkins, and you traded traded a 3rd-round pick for Duke Johnson. Baltimore signs Mark Ingram, use a 2nd on J.K. Dobbins. At the tight end, Mark Andrews, a 3rd-round pick, and you've drafted 3 in the last 3 years, and the Ravens have a significant advantage at those 2 positions. That right there, there's other stuff that we're going to talk about, but the way in which the teams have accumulated the talent at these positions, significant, and it's going to play a major role on Sunday. This goes back to getting the most of your assets. Baltimore's done it. Texans, not so much.
You got to give Eric DaCosta a lot of credit. He's the general manager with the Ravens, and he's buying the groceries, right? But what you also have to understand with the Ravens, and this is, I guess it's kind of a shot at the Texans and Bill O'Brien, but I just think it's enlightening. All right, I'll leave it at that. They were 8-8 the year before Bill O'Brien got here. They were 5-11 Bill O'Brien's 2nd year here. Think about that. They were 8-8 the year before O'Brien got here. 5-11 in 2015, in Bill O'Brien's 2nd year here.
And then you're talking the Ravens?
The Ravens.
Right.
And in less time, they went 10-6, lost in the wild card, and 14-2 last year. they have put together a roster in quick time and elevated to the highest levels outside of the Super Bowl, you know, in less time than the
Texans.
They
rebuilt. They had a Super Bowl team 7 years ago, and they've rebuilt it into one of the Super Bowl favorites in a very short time. It's impressive. Yeah. Could I interest you in a way back Wednesday?
Hit me.
Mark Andrews played with Kyle Allen at Arizona. He was a wide receiver. Here's a little ABC news story out in Arizona about one of the best tight ends in the game that the Texans will see on Sunday.
Colleges pursuing a dynamic duo in Scottsdale, and it's been quite a ride. Kyle Allen is either the number one or number two rated QB in the country, depending on the ranking. His big target, and we mean big here, is 6'6", 238-pound Mark Andrews, who's also rated top 50 in the country. In fact, we're calling him a high school Gronk.
There's nobody that looks like him or runs like him that fits his size. I mean, he's kind of a unique young man.
Yes, he is, and he's grown up to be quite a unique and talented tight end.
When you invest in certain positions, you need payoff. Ravens have gotten max payoff from their running backs and their tight ends. Texans, not so much. It's going to be a big factor on Sunday to see if the Texans are able to get the best of the Ravens running backs / tight ends. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson had the best game of his career on Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm not the one who said this, but someone very close to him did, and we'll hear it next.
My boy D. White in the Bentley truck. Oh, yeah. I see your boy. Hey, represent, baby. Yeah.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.